Good morning, everybody. My message today is called Go Be the Church. Turn to your neighbor and say, go. All right. Good job, Dalton, but neighbors that way. Everybody say, go. Go be. Go be. Go be the church. Y'all said that. Go be, go be, go be the church. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2:10, you are God's workmanship, created for good works. Today is a challenge to go be the church. It's easy for the body of Christ, the church, to become so focused on it's about me mentality. Sunday better have a great message. I mean, Pastor Lee better be on point today. He better preach or I'm not coming back. I mean, that worship team, it better be hyped today. I mean, something needs to happen. Oftentimes we can get so focused, it's not about all of those things. I don't want to serve. I don't want to wake up early. I don't want to stay a little bit later. Sundays are about me. We get so caught up in our own lives that we forget that God has called us to go and be the church. Problems aren't new. Didn't start in 2019 and didn't start in 1980. It's been around for a long time. It's that we get so focused on a consumer Christianity that we forget that it's a call to be more like Jesus, to serve like Jesus. Perhaps one of the greatest problems that we have is that we forget who we are as a church. We leak. See a bucket up there? Right there. We leak. We get filled up and then we leak. We get filled up and then we forget things and we leak and we leave church all excited about Jesus, and then Monday happens and we wake up and our spouse says something that we didn't like them to say, or our child says something that we thought, you know, I'm going to leave and this sermon's going to be wonderful and my children are going to be great, and we look at our children and we look at them and says, do you know I love you? And our child looks like, nah, who cares? And so it just crushes us, and then all of the faith that we drew up on Sunday, we just leaked out on Monday. We constantly need to be reminded of who we are as the church. Number one, what is the church? Now, you've heard me say this, and if you haven't heard me, it's maybe a little shocker to you. You got that next slide up there? I'm going to tell you about this nursery rhyme. You probably learned it when you were 2 years old. Here's the church, you know that? Here's the steeple, open it up, and here's all the people. It's so cute and adorable. My only problem was, I tell this, and Rama's like, don't say that. It sounds so overkill. But I truly believe this nursery rhyme is from the pit of hell. Because I believe it's totally false. I believe it totally redefines what the church is. It basically says that top left-hand corner is the church. It was this defined by a building. So the building's the church. You know what happens in the building? You hire a holy man, and the holy man does everything because he's holy and righteous. I don't know who they're talking about because it ain't me. And so the holy man must evangelize. The holy man cares for the sick. The holy man does everything, because when we define the church as a building, the holy man that resides within that building is his responsibility. That's not what our Bible teaches us. We are the church. We are the called out ones of God. Those people inside the building are not just those people inside the building. They are the church. You know what people ask me? I've planted 4 churches, and every time I go down this journey, and people you go meet them, and they say, so when are you going to have a church? Well, I pastor Go Church, you know, we're at a church on a given Sunday, about 150 people. Yeah, but when are you going to have a church? I pastor a body of people called Go Church. Yeah, but when are you going to have a church? I know what they're asking. They're saying, when are you going to have a building? Because a building must define church. If you ever hear me talk, once we have a building, you will never hear me ever refer to that place as the church. You will never hear me say, hey, we're going to the church. You may hear me say we're going to the church building. You may hear me say we're going to the church facilities, but we are not going to the church, because every time we gather, whether we're in a home or at the building, we are the church. It is a hugely important principle that has been changed and warped from our own journey. The church is not a building, it is people. The Greek word is the word ekklesia. It's very similar to the Spanish word for church, which is ecclesia. Did I say it right? Sort of, kind of. Say it, Shammy. She's a translation professional. Go ahead and say it.
Iglesia.
Oh, say it louder.
Iglesia.
Say it really loud. Okay. This girl works, what she does all day, Monday through Friday, is she translates. And so, ekklesia, something like that, whatever she said. Very similar, but the Greek word is ekklesia. It literally means the called out ones of God. You are the church. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the vessels that God designed to impact the world around you. I will never touch the people that live next door to you, or your cousins and your relatives, or those you work with, but you will. My job as a pastor, the fivefold gifting, help me out, pastor, prophet, evangelist, oh man, apostle, who am I missing? The teacher. There's a fivefold gifting, and you ask anybody, and I'm chasing a little rabbit here, and it's not on my notes, but so I'm totally messing up the translation that's going on, but follow me anyway. The fivefold gifting, you ask anybody what's the role of a pastor, and they'll tell you to pastor people. You ask anybody what's the role of an evangelist, and they'll say to evangelize people. And I would say, yeah, that's not what the word says. The role of a pastor is to equip the body of Christ to pastor people. That text that lists the fivefold giftings, it says to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So my job as a pastor is not just to pastor people, but it's to equip a body of people to shepherd and love and pastor. The job of an evangelist is not just to evangelize, although he needs to know what he's doing in order to equip somebody, but his job is to equip people, because the Bible says, Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. We are all called to evangelism because we are the church. We talked about this, I can't remember how long ago. We did a poll, we can do it right now if you want to. How many of y'all were influenced to Jesus because a friend, a relative, mom and dad told you about Jesus? How many of y'all just was driving by down the road and you saw a church and just popped in and found Jesus, heard a sermon, and you came to Jesus that way? Anybody? Anybody just, no one invited you, you went to a crusade, you saw Billy Graham was, you know, in the Astrodome, and you just visited and you got saved? Anybody? You're watching a movie, nobody invited you to the movie, and they shared the gospel on the movie and you just got radically saved? You were watching TBN, and someone shared the gospel on TBN, and you got on your knees and gave your heart to Jesus. Anybody? Wow. Normally, there's one or two in all of those other columns. Today, there were none. What does that speak about you and your importance? Your importance as a mom and dad to your children. You're important to your cousins and your those around you. Your importance of who you work around, because you are the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the church. The most effective way we reach the world around you is not from me. It's from you. It's you. You are the key. God uses you. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. When we define the church as the people of God, then it's us, then it's we are called to reach out and touch the world around us. It is our job to understand and walk in the Great Commandment. It is our job to walk and understand and reach out with the Great Commission. There's a magazine online, it's called Relevant Magazine, and this is what it says. The church, for all its flaws and warts, is a colony of heaven. I thought that was pretty cool. With all its flaws and warts, it's a colony of heaven. The church is flawed. You know why? You've heard, I preached a message about, I don't know, 2 months ago on this. You know why the church is flawed? Because you are flawed. If you want a perfect church, you better leave. You will never find it because you're here. And Lee Brockington's here. I'm flawed. I mess up. Yeah. Did you say that, Lena? Get out of here, Lena. No, I'm joking. We're all flawed. But hear this. The imperfections of the church are designed to perfect you. You didn't hear me say the imperfections of an institutional building we call the church, but the imperfections of the church are designed to perfect you. I truly believe that God designed his gathering place of his people to be like this, with all of our flaws. Get this, guys. This is just crazy to me. Creator God, God that can do everything in all things, for some odd reason, chooses to use flawed me to reach the world around us. Is that crazy? The God that created everything chooses to use you, flaws and all, to touch the people around you. The imperfections of the church are designed to perfect you. So how will you react when the flaws of others become to affect you? Will you act like the world and run from it? Will you act like the world and get all mad about it, get all up in their face and tell them how you feel? Or will you respond like Jesus? Will you love somebody? Will you learn from that process? Will you become more like him? You see, because I can tell you I can do things all the time, but until I am tested, we don't know. You never know what you know until you're tested. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I do a plank. It's up there. That's not me up there, but that is somebody up there. And I can tell you, hey, guys, I can do a 10-minute plank. You will never know if that's telling the truth, because it's not, unless I'm tested. Now, on the other hand, Kaylee is in the nursery today working. I have watched her do a 14-minute plank. That is crazy. Great form and everything. Just she probably couldn't do it right now, but she just told me about 3 days ago, hey, Dad, I did a 5-minute plank last night, and that's just crazy hard. But you never know what you know until it is tested. And I really think the church environment is, we say all the day, we are people of faith, you know, we are strong, this is what I would do in this circumstances, but we really don't know until we're tested. And when you're a part of the body of Christ, especially if you get involved any more than just attending on a Sunday morning, and you get involved with people, they are gonna rub you wrong. They act different than you. They laugh at different jokes than you. They respond different. Some are slower. Some are faster. Some say things that you would rather them not say to you. Some of it hurts your feelings, and they may even be trying to be nice to you, and you leave the church, oh, you hurt my feelings. So what are you going to do about it? You going to get all down and all discouraged? Are you going to seek the Lord and be tested of how you respond? Because the church is absolutely a place you develop God's character and his values. Folks, I've been in the body of Christ for 49, I'll be 49 next week. Can y'all believe that? Man, I'm chasing tons of rabbits. We went out to eat last week, And the waiter said, hey, could I help you out? And I said, my brother here, he can get an old people discount. And Wayne's like, stop. And the guy says, well, do you have AARP? And Wayne's like, yeah, I'm 52. So Wayne got a 51. Hey, guys, can we sing happy birthday to Wayne's 60th birthday? He's just 60 years old. But I'm going to be 49 years old. I've been in the body of Christ. I was born into this thing. I got saved at 8 years old. And, man, I've been at 8 years old. I would leave Sunday school and go and join the deacons of the church on my knees, seeking the Lord for what God wanted to do. I've been doing this thing a long time, and I have found that people hurt people. We do stupid things. I've pastored for 27 years. I've had to dig journeys out of some really messed up stuff at times. Trust me, it ain't new to go church. It ain't new from wherever you came from. Because we're human and we're flawed. In no way does that excuse us to stay that way. Please don't say, well, God's grace is sufficient, so I get to just stay this way. No. God wants you to grow. He wants to mature you. He wants you to climb out of those places that wound people. That's just how I am, Shelley. So you just need to get used to it, okay? If I say things that's straightforward and it hurts your feelings, oh, well, who cares? No! If I am wounding her, I need to figure out why I'm wounding her. It's a testing ground. The church is a place we develop the character and the values and the DNA of who God is. And you cannot do it on your own. It was never God's plan for you to do it on your own. We are citizens of heaven, and we are called to do the business of heaven together. I want to read this scripture to you. It's found, I'm reading it out of the Amplified Version. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. It says, now you collectively are Christ's body. And individually, you are members of it, each with his own special purpose and function. Out of the NIV, it says it this way. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one has a part of it. Powerful point here. You are not the church individually. You are the church collectively. The Bible doesn't say the called out one. It says the called out ones. It speaks of a collection of people. People say, well, why do I need to go to the church? Because I am the church, so I don't need to be a part. If that is your theology, you miss the understanding of ecclesia, the called out, the plurality, the collection of people. We are one together, serving God together. You don't meet the definition of being church if you do it alone. It's like if I'm an arm. There's my arm right there. Robin took that on me last night. I was doing my 10-minute plank. After I was done, I said, Robin, take it right there. She said, honey, you are fine. Someone said I was dreaming and then I woke up. Did you hear that? Oh, you said that. Somebody over here said that. If I'm an arm, I have to be attached to the rest of this. Because you know what happens to an arm that's unattached to everything else? It's deteriorating, it's dying, and it's useless. An arm by itself is not very good for anything. But an arm connected to a body does tremendous things. And when I flex mine, it looks like that. Because an arm is used powerfully. I use my hands and my arms everywhere I go. Because it's connected to all of this body. If you think you're an arm, but you don't have to be connected to anything else or anyone else, you're greatly mistaken on the definition of being church. Have you ever worked on a jigsaw puzzle? There's a jigsaw puzzle up there. 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. You've been working on it for 3 days. You've had 3 days off. You have nothing better to do than put together a foot, because you don't have to work your mind as far as that work environment. You can just rest and relax and focus on that jigsaw puzzle. You complete 99.9% of it, and what do you find? You cannot find that last piece. Has anybody ever done that? Come on, raise your hand if you've done that. Does it just really make you mad when that happens? Oh, you search the couch, you blame your children for losing it. Yeah, that's right. Avia, where's the piece? Erica? Find it. I saw y'all playing with it last night. Find it now. And then somebody calls in the middle of your yelling at your kids. Oh, hello, how are you doing? Good to hear. God bless you too. Find that piece, kids. Find it now. You get so mad because that puzzle is worthless without that one piece. You throw it away because that one little piece is missing. That's the body of Christ without you. You are that important. It's not complete. Just one piece is so vital to the completeness of what God's called us to do. You are the church. That piece, your piece, is so important. But a believer unconnected to the body is never going to fulfill their God-given mandate. They're never going to fully fulfill their mission from God, because you are His workmanship, created for good works. You are the church. You are one piece of the jigsaw puzzle that God wants to use. Turn to your neighbor and just, you can even point to him if you want to, and says, you are the church. Dude, I spent way too much time on point number one. It's almost 12, and I got 5 more points. No, not really. I got 2 more points. But number 2 is a really quick point, but it's a very important point. What is our mission? I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but let me just read it to you. It's called the Great Commandment, Matthew 22, 37 through 39, and this is what it said. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your hearts, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The Great Commission is found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen." We are called as our church, our mission, to go and love God. It's called the Great Commandment. We are called to go and love people. It's called the Great Commandment. We are called to go and reach people. It's called the Great Commission. And we are called to go and disciple people, and that's called the Great Commission. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Rick. Would you just stand for a second? Yeah, you, right there. The one I'm looking at. I got an email about a week and a half ago. And they said, "I just want to tell you about Pastor Rick." And they said, "He may not be pastoring a local church, but let me tell you, he has pastored me for years. He has held me from falling off the cliff," and they didn't mean in the natural sense, but they meant just in doing something really, really stupid. "He has encouraged me, and he's walked with me." They didn't use these words. I use them. But Rick, that is you being the church. Would you just give him a hand clap? Yeah. Go be the church. Love God, love people, reach people, disciple people. Number three, go be the church. Don't just go to a church, be the church. So what does that mean to be the church? I mean, you need to understand your piece of the jigsaw puzzle and go be it. You are the church. The mission is to love God, love people, reach people, disciple people. Go and be it. But you know what people say? Well, Pastor, I don't know what my purpose is. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm young. I'm still learning. I've just been saved a month, or I've been saved 10 years. I just don't know enough. And so I just don't know what my purpose is. Well, that's fine. I get that. So let me just help you out. And so maybe you don't know the specific area that the Lord wants you to do. So let me just help you to do what He's called you to do in the Word. Love God. Just fall in love with Jesus. As Catchy's mother said last week, before she was able to pour into Catchy, her daughter, she had to get filled up with Jesus. She had to discover Him in His Word. She had to discover His character and His values of who He was. She had to be filled up. I am asking you, what is my mission? What is my purpose? Go and love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And number two, what I want you to do, I just want you to go love on people. Just go love on people. Just make people's day. At the cash register, when you leave, look at them and say, man, have a great day. Find opportunities to speak life and speak Jesus over people. I'm not asking you to get all religious and hokey. Understand what I'm saying? I'm not asking you to be at the cash register. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, sister. Ooh, I feel Him right now. Ooh. Because that person's going to be saying, where you go to church? Because that's a church I don't want to go to. But I'm asking you to find tangible, very realistic ways to bring Jesus into the midst of loving people. And then I want you to reach people. I want you to prepare yourself to be ready to share the gospel of Jesus with someone. Yes. Sure. I was with, I had lunch with a guy at Subway, and the guy was Spanish speaking, and when he spoke to the lady, the cashier, he realized her accent was not Spanish of Texas, and he said, where are you from? And she said, I'm from Venezuela, I just moved here a month ago. And I don't know all the details that he said to her, but basically she shared she was very lonely, very isolated. Venezuela's chaos right now, so she just left chaos. And he said, ma'am, can I give you my name and my phone number? Because my wife and I would just love to reach out to you and love you. He loved God, and he just loved people, and he reached them. And he's going to have the opportunity to disciple her. Just be Jesus. Stop struggling with trying to find, God, what is that purpose? And I'm just going to wait here and do nothing until I find that exact spot. Just go and start being what the Bible and God says for you to start being. Start using your gifts and talents to serve Jesus. Hear this. If you can play the guitar and you can play the keyboard, George, where are you? Where's George? Where's George? There he is. Stand up. Everybody look at that handsome face right there. Go and talk to George about being on the worship team. If you can run a soundboard and you have an ear for things and you want to learn how to operate, go ahead and stand up, Michael. Go ahead and look back here. Michael, Cedric's normally working. He's in Louisiana this week, but Michael's here filling in. Not really filling in. They partner. We would love to raise up a third person for that job. If that's you, come and talk to Michael. If you are just really good at PowerPoint or willing to be developed on it, go ahead and Jody right there. See her back there? Man. We would like to raise up a third person for the PowerPoint, and there's a whole lots of things that go into that process and getting things ready for Sunday morning, and we would love to raise up one more person for that. Man, if you can be here at 8:30 in the morning, and one of the hardest jobs we have on Sunday morning is wheeling these crates in that are hugely heavy on carpet around here, and it's a lot of work for our men, and if you want to help out and set up and help tear down, where's Andrew? There he is right there. Where's Andrew? He's right outside. Go and see Andrew. And so, Corey, stand up in his behalf. You're better looking than he is anyway. That's his wife right there. Go and talk to them about that. If you said, Pastor, I just love working with children, and man, I'd love to be in a rotation where I can serve in children's church. Is Dagny, is she back there? Where's Dagny? Right there. Come and see this lady right there. Everybody clap at her right there. If you don't want to work in the nursery and says, man, I just want to help out, and I just want to serve the babies of the church, Robin, just stand up, let them everybody see you right there. And you say, man, I can usher really well, you know, and so help me learn what all's involved in ushering, and I'd love to serve in that capacity. Patricia and Wayne right there, she's the head usher today. Wayne is the head usher as well, and man, come and see one of them. Trust me, we'll get you set up. The last thing I'm going to mention, Wally, where is Wally? Right there. Yeah, y'all can go ahead and clap. The first impression that visitors get when they walk onto our campus and walk through the doors are the greeters. Man, we need greeters that are just so excited to see people. We want greeters that are just so excited to welcome new people and make them feel loved and make it real. Don't make it fake. I think I told you the story one time. I walked for a pastor's conference to another church, and they opened the door and they said, hey, welcome to, and they said the name, and I walked through and it just felt unauthentic and fake. And I said to myself, if I was a visitor on Sunday morning, I don't know if I would be back, simply because the greetings felt so fake. We want to be authentic and real and truly just love people. Y'all get it? We want them people to leave and going, wow, I just felt loved by 100 people today. That started with the greeters. If you're interested in being a greeter, go and talk to Gwally. He will set you up. We have a ton of other areas to serve. But let me tell you, before I move on from here, let me tell you a key to this whole journey. It's called faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. It is so important. If you sign up and then you disappear for 3 weeks, and Gwally had sent you an email, and I'm just picking on Gwally, but Gwally sent you an email and you never responded, and you're wondering, I wonder why Gwally never calls me anymore. It's called faithfulness. God wants to raise you up. You have to be faithful to it. Go and be means to go get involved in a go group and begin connecting to that go group and go door to door and just loving on people. Go be, get this, I know we don't like to talk about this part, but it's so valuable, so important. Go be to be faithful to your tithe, because God created this wonderful way that we as a body of Christ gets to do things not only domestically or locally, but around the world. It's called sowing your finances into the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something about our finances. You say, well, I just don't know where it's going. If you don't know where it's going, you come and tell me. I'll get our budget out. You can go and talk to Paula. She's our church treasurer. We are an open book. You can see everything we spend our money on, because we want to be transparent on everything we do. Our funds are used very wisely. We have a church council that meets once a month, and we discuss our finances. We want to be above board, and we want your funds that are sowed into the kingdom of God to be used to the utmost of how it could be used. It takes money to do what we do. It takes money. Many people don't tithe because it is a maturing step of trusting God and obeying Him for what we hold dear, and that's money. We all hold dear to money. Go be means when someone is sick, you go and visit them. Go be means when a family is struggling, you go and minister and pray for them. Go be means for the church means you have gifts of the Spirit and God wants to use those in you. If you have the prophetic, if you have the gift of miracles and healings, there are 9 listings in Corinthians about it. We want to be a church that operates in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit. Now hear this. I realize go being means far more than just all the activities I listed on Sunday morning, but we as collective, collecting ourselves together on Sunday morning, we have needs that we need to fulfill that what we do here and throughout the week. That's why I listed the ones that we listed. We have an amazing team. We do. We just have this amazing team. We just want to include more with it. And if you feel underused, come and talk to me. We'll talk about how to get you involved. Because the people that serve on a weekly basis are our heroes. They serve with joy. They serve and they serve. And I am honored to serve alongside them. We have an amazing God. And God's given this church an amazing vision. We have tremendous momentum. We want you to be a part of it. And I'm almost done, but let me just tell you our 90-day goals. Our 90-day goals, we want to see 6 people saved over the next 90 days, April, May, and June, and baptized. We want to see 125 in our average attendance, and we will far exceed that, between 140 and 150. We want to birth a new small group or a go group within the next 3 months, and we are working hard at that. And also, we want to find property, and we are looking for property. We have found 4 acres right over on the other side of Morton. We have our realtor that's been working with us. She is willing to guarantee our loan, which is pretty powerful. But here's some of the stumbling blocks. When we were ready to rent a storefront before we moved here, it would have cost us $8,500 a month, not including utilities, and it would have gone up over $9,000 over the course of 4 or 5 years. $9,000 a month. If we buy this land and build on it, our mortgage payment's going to be $10,000. I think we will be able to afford that. But here's the catch. We will need to come up with a down payment of $250,000. We will need to raise about half of that over the next 4 or 5 months, $125,000. $1,000. That's a lot of money. Those that work so hard at Go Church saying, man, we are ready to be out of this place into our own home. It will cost us to do that. But I believe God is pushing us forward. Our goal just right now is finding a property and begin to negotiate that property. As we move forward, I will tell you more about that. But let me tell you, as we move forward, it will cost us more financially. So how do we do that? That means you tithe. That means we grow. And the people that we grow with are tithers as well. I believe God is a God that is ready and waiting for us to partner with him to do amazing things. Amen. 1-year goals, let me go through it real quick. These are what our 1-year goals. We want to see 25 people saved and baptized within Go Church. We want to see 50 people going through Go 101 today, right after, in about an hour from now. We're going to have a luncheon with 13 people that just will graduate from our first Go 101 course. We want to see them utilized in ministry. We want to be running over 200 people in our average attendance on Sunday morning. Summer we're coming into. We hope we can, we will just maintain the 140. Let me just not say we hope we just maintain. We hope we grow over the summer. Amen. And then we come into September, October, November, and then we begin to move towards that 200. We want to average over 200 by the end of the year. Our 5-year goals, are they up there? Yeah, I think 5-year goals. Yeah, there they are. Over the next 5 years, we want to be a church that's running over 300-plus attendance. And let me tell you why that's a special number. I really don't want to be much larger than 300 and 500 people. It's just a sweet spot for us. It is big enough to do financially, staff and volunteer-wise to do what we want to do, but it's small enough that we still hold the community. We basically know everybody. And then we want to begin to multi-site, not quite like a lot of these mega churches are doing all over town, which is, I'm not trashing that at all. It's an awesome vision. But we really want to go into West Houston, beyond West Houston, these small towns that, you know, grandma's church is, you know, there and not a lot of young people. It's dying and they're wondering why it's dying. And we go into these small towns of 1,000, 3,000 people and we birth Go Church. We raise up leaders here and we give them a vision to touch a small town. We're talking Brookshire, we're talking Eagle Lake. We're not looking at huge churches, we're talking churches of 75 to 125 people. But very connected in many ways with Go Church, and we work in harmony with it. That's what we want to do over the next 5 years. Over the next 5 years, we want to birth our first multi-site campus. And the last, when it comes to missions, if you know anything about my life, we spent the last 8 years on the mission field. We learned about what effective missions looks like and what very ineffective missions looks like. We're going to be very slow in our journey on supporting missionaries. We have Belize. We're going to focus on Belize. We're going to make sure Belize is our strategy, and we're going to do it well. But over the next 5 years, we want to add three strategic countries. Missionaries are churches that are there that understand, and we understand their DNA, that we can bless and that we can be effective there. We don't want to send $50 to 100 churches and go and visit another country every year so we can put a notch on our belt and says, I've visited 13 churches in the last 15 years. 13 countries. Because Robin and I have found on the mission field is the churches that use us as their mission vacation. We were thankful to have them, but they weren't real effective on helping us on the field. But those churches that said, we want to partner with you for the long haul. The Southern California districts that say, we're going to send teams, we're going to send pastors, we're going to help you raise up leaders. They are raising up a school of ministry with 20 students in Belize right now because SoCal has allowed 150 of their churches to partner with Belize. They're flying pastors down to pour into us, and they gave that church nearly $200,000 to build the building based and built on a partnership, not just a one-time stop. Very important. We want to be very passionate that we do missions right. So, ushers, I am winding it down right here. Woo! Okay. Ushers, we have these. If you want to fill them out, they're right up there. It says, go and be the church. If you are interested in one of these, we have many other areas to serve, but these are just a few of our great needs. Set up and tear down, the visual team, which is the PowerPoint team, the children, the sound team, the ushers, the greeters, the nursery, prayer. If you are interested in being a part of the prayer team, I will link you up with Stacy as well. And if that is your passion and you want to get involved in those, one of these areas, click on that, put your name and your phone number, just throw it on the info table as you leave, and we will follow up with you. Go be the church. Would you stand with me? Let me just leave you with this quote. The church is, for all of her flaws and warts, a colony of heaven. We are a colony of heaven on this earth. And it will take, collectively, us as the body of Christ, reaching people, loving on people, loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind, loving people all the time, reaching people and discipling people. When our leaders come forward,